Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Student Strip Search Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Thursday, June 25th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Safford Unified School District v. Reading. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the Fourth Amendment precludes the strip search by school officials of a student suspected of possessing and distributing prohibited prescription pills, and whether the school district and officials involved are subject to liability for having conducted such a search. In an 8-1 decision delivered by Justice Souter, the court affirmed the Ninth Circuit's holding that the strip search in question violated the Fourth Amendment, but reversed the circuit court in holding that all of the school officials involved are protected from liability by qualified immunity, although the court left the question of the school district's liability to be addressed on remand. To discuss the decision, we welcome Ilya Shapiro, Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Shapiro.
40 years ago, the Supreme Court assured public school students that they didn't shed all their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. Almost 25 years ago, in the case of TLO, the court concluded that the right of privacy is among the constitutional protections students retain while in the classrooms and on school grounds. TLO said that any searches of students have to be justified at their inception and permissible in scope. That is, you have to know what you're looking for, and there has to be a reasonable basis for it. In this case, the courts made it increasingly clear that students' right of free speech and the right to privacy can be curtailed, however, when officials have strong enough concerns about discipline and safety. The court's gone far toward allowing mandatory and random drug testing of public school students. It's been unwilling to second-guess officials' claims that there is a drug problem at the particular school. And it's accepted the notion that drug abuse is especially harmful to youths. The events that formed the basis for this suit started in October of 2003, when at a middle school in Arizona, a student, Marissa, was discovered to have prescription ibuprofen in violation of the school's anti-drug policy. She accused a classmate, Savannah Redding, also a 13-year-old, of having provided these pills and of distributing them to other students. The assistant principal called Savannah into his office, searched her backpack and outer garments, and then requested the school nurse and another female administrator to take her into the bathroom and conduct what's been called a strip search, asking her to stretch out her bra and her panties and shake them in full view of her breasts and genital region. Nothing was found, no pills or any other contraband. Savannah's mother was not called. Savannah was kept in the school's principal's office the whole time. Following the strip search, Savannah's mother filed suit, saying that this is a violation of Savannah's Fourth Amendment rights. The district court ruled for the district and for the school officials, finding that the tip from the other student was a sufficient justification for the search. The Ninth Circuit upheld the district court, but then the en banc Ninth Circuit split acrimoniously, ruled for Savannah, reversing its own panel. The Supreme Court took up the case on both the issue of the Fourth Amendment right and the qualified immunity issue. Interestingly, right before the argument during the briefing of this case, the Supreme Court decided the case of Pearson versus Callahan, which said that in these qualified immunity cases, the court need not necessarily look to the constitutional right and can just resolve it on the qualified immunity claim. Here, all the parties asked the court to go to the constitutional question, however, because the law was unclear. They needed to provide direction for school administrators and, more importantly, for courts below and how to resolve these issues. The Safford School District officials argued that the search was constitutional because it was justified by the suspicions that the officials had about the prescription drug problem at the school and about Savannah Redding, fingered by the student here and with some questionable behavior allegedly in the past. The National School Boards Association and other amici supported the school board and asked again to rule both on the qualified immunity and the constitutional right claim. The Department of Justice, interestingly, said that the search was unconstitutional, but would require a new constitutional standard to spell that out, limiting this type of rule to personal searches of public school students. And Savannah and the Reddings argued that the intrusive nature of the search, based upon an insufficient justification, made this whole exercise unconstitutional. An interesting thing happened at oral argument. It seemed that Justice Ginsburg was the only one who expressed some concern about the plight of Savannah Redding, discomfort with this strip search. And indeed, she would later give an interview to, I think, USA Today, talking about how this was a sensitive age for a girl that her colleagues perhaps didn't understand. The other justices, Justice Souter, expressed concern that he'd rather have a kid embarrassed rather than another kid dead, and so perhaps it would be reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, this search. Justices Breyer and Kennedy were plainly more concerned about the drug problem than with student privacy. So coming out of the argument, it seemed like the school board was going to prevail. The court, in an opinion by Justice Souter, supported in this part by all but Justice Thomas, ruled that there was no reason to suspect that the drugs presented a danger or were concealed in Savannah's underwear. Thus, the search was unconstitutional, violated Savannah's Fourth Amendment rights. Because there's reason to question the clarity of the rule, of the right that was established here, however, the court ruled that the official who ordered the search, the assistant principal, was entitled to qualified immunity. Now, Justices Ginsburg and Stevens dissented from that qualified immunity discussion by Justice Souter, and Justice Thomas dissented altogether, saying that the court was not sufficiently deferential to the school officials, and that if courts were going to second-guess school officials in this way, then they would lose control of their students, and this was not a way that courts should be policing schools. So again, the upshot of the case is that the content of the suspicion here failed to match the degree of intrusion. When the categorically extreme intrusiveness of a search down to the body of an adolescent requires some justification in suspected facts, Justice Souter wrote, general background possibilities fall short. A reasonable search that extensive calls for suspicion that it will pay off. In sum, what was missing, said the court, from the suspected facts that pointed to Savannah was any indication of danger to the students from the power of the drugs or their quantity, and any reason to suppose that Savannah was carrying pills in her underwear. We think, the court wrote, that the combination of these deficiencies was fatal to finding the search reasonable. Now, I should add that Cato, my organization, filed an amicus brief supporting Savannah Redding in this case, along the lines that the court eventually decided. Cato's brief that I contributed to argued that strip searches are only reasonable when school officials have highly credible evidence showing that the student is in possession of the object that poses a significant danger to the school and that the student has secreted the objects in a place that only a strip search will uncover. This seems to be the direction in which the court went. And while the search of the backpacks and outer garments and lockers and so forth of students will not be questioned here in drug cases, maybe in bombs or knives or guns and so forth, but strip searches are special, and it would really have to be a strong suspicion of a dangerous object to justify such an intrusion into a student's privacy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.